Okay, so this week is Parshas Pikudei. This is the last of the Sedras in the book of Shmos, in the book of Exodus. So this week begins Ele Pikudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdes. These are the accounts of the tabernacle. This is the Mishkan HaEdes. So there are two things that are called Edus. Edus means a testimony. So there's the Aron, the Ark, is called Aron HaEdus. And the Mishkan itself is called Mishkan HaEdus. So the Ark was testimony that God dwells in us. The Mishkan is Edus, is a testimony that God forgave us for the worshipping the golden calf. So the Torah gives us the accounts of the Mishkan, and then they finished the work. Vayuviu es haMishkan al Moshe, and they brought the Mishkan to Moshe. So interesting Medrash. Medrash Tanchuma says like this: B'shor shebo Moshe v'omel Yisroel kum me'etchem truma. When Moshe came to the Yidden and he told them to donate, samchu simcha gedoyle. So everybody had this tremendous simcha, this tremendous joy. V'heviu nedova b'simcha, and they brought their offerings with joy, u'bezrizus, and with tremendous haste, enthusiasm. So see what it says. And the men came on the women, meaning normally, you know, when Jewish men and Jewish women are together, you know, they keep themselves separate, but they were in such a hurry to bring their offerings, you know, like you read sometimes in the newspaper, it comes like a Black Friday. And the store, the electronic store, has got all these gifts, and people are queuing to get in. And then when they open the doors, there's a stampede because people are going to get something for nothing, right? So the Torah tells us that here was a stampede. Vayovoyu ha'anoshim al anoshim, the men and the women, meaning there was a stampede to give, not to get. She'doich kinzel, they stumbled over one another. She'boy anoshim anoshim be'irvuvia. That they got all mixed up, the men and the women, and they're bringing their nedava, their gifts. Every woman who had a clever heart would bring the spun wool, etc. And in 2 mornings, they brought everything. As the Torah tells us, Hamlocha Yisadayim, and it was enough for all the work. And they came to Moshe and they said, look, the people are bringing, there's already enough. And Moshe put out an announcement saying nobody should bring anything else. So those people who had waited to bring their offering to see what was short, like the princes, the heads of each tribe, thought to themselves, you know, we're kind of responsible to make our tribe look good. So you know what we'll do? We'll wait till everybody's brought something, and then whatever needs to be brought to finish up, to make it look good, or to, if there's a shortage of materials, we'll offer it of our own. And then what happens? Moshe sent out a commandment, nobody's to bring anything else. And so these princes of the tribes, the heads of the tribes, they felt very bad that they didn't get to, they weren't involved. And in fact, the Medrash says that later it says the Nesiim, the word Nesiim, the princes, and there's a Yud missing from the word because they were missed Atzel. They should have known that their own people were not going to leave them any room to make up the gap, and that if there was an opportunity to give, they should have grabbed that opportunity. So the Medrash continues, so after that they were busy making the Mishkan, Bezalel, Aliyov, And all the people who had skills, the creative people, Shenema v'yasu kol chacham lev, the Torah tells us that everybody with a clever heart made these things. V'chein anoshim tovu es atcheles, and the women were spinning the blue wool and the purple wool, as it, and it brings a posik v'chal anoshim asher nosu libon, all women whose hearts were raised them up to that creativity level. Everybody was involved. Kiven shigamru melechas ha-mishkan, so then they finished making the mishkan. So then they sat waiting. When's the Shechina going to come? Moshe promised us. God said, let them make me a sanctuary. And I will dwell. Meaning, and my Shechina is going to be there. So where's the Shechina? And everybody was in pain. There's no Shechina there. What did they do? They came to the clever people for advice. So the clever people said, what are you doing there sitting? You're sitting and waiting for the Shekhinah. Don't sit and wait for the Shekhinah. Set up the Mishkan yourselves. The Shekhinah will come and dwell among us. So they tried to set it up. They tried, and they didn't know, and they couldn't erect the Mishkan. And as they tried to set it up, it fell down. So they would set up these boards and the sockets and the this and that, and you know, they try and set it up, and it would fall down. So they came to the master architects, to those who'd done the blueprints, Umru Lahem, and they said to them, Boyu Atem Vahamidu HaMishkan, you guys, you're responsible, you come set it up, Sha'atam Asisema, you made it, Shem Al Yetchem Roilam, and maybe it can only be erected by the people who designed the thing, Miyad Eschilu Lahamidu V'Leyochlu, so Bitzalel Aliyav, all the machers, they tried to set it up and they couldn't. Now the Medrash gives us an image of what happens when the Eden don't get what they want when they want it, right? So then they start grumbling. And they say, see what this son of Amram, referring to Moshe, right? See what this son of Amram, see, he's made us spend all this money. We put all our money, all this effort, and he put us to all this bother. And he promised us that God's going to come down from on high. And he's going to dwell here inside this tent made of goat skins. So the Medrash says, so why really? So obviously something's going on here that they can't set the Mishkan up. Why couldn't they? So the Medrash answers, Ela shehoye Moshe meitza. Moshe was in pain. Al shelo nishtatev hu imohem b'melech samishkan. Moshe didn't do anything. So here, when Moshe looks at the Mishkan, he sees that he wasn't participating at all. Ketzad hanadovod nitnu al yidei Yisrael. All the donations were given by the Yidden. Hamelocha and the work, nasal yidei Bitzalel v'Holiyav. And the work was actually carried out by Tzalel, Aliyav, and all these people with clever hearts. And because Moshe had agmas nefesh, he had pain about it, God hid from them, and they were incapable of setting up the Mishkan. So when they'd finished, and they'd finally given up and realized, we can't do this. And there was no way they're going to be able to erect this Mishkan. So Moshe, they finally, you know, they say in medicine, when all else fails, examine the patient, right? So everything they've tried doesn't work. Oh, so now they come to Moshe. Amru, they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, kol ma she'amartelonu asinu, everything you told us to do, we did. v'chol ma shetzivisonu, and everything you commanded us to give, u'lehoitzi, and to expend, nosanu akol, we did everything you told us. V'harei kol ha'melacha levenecha, come, take a look. Shem chisaron neshama, that maybe we left something out. Oivitarno, maybe we made something extra. Al kol ma shematem, and everything you told us. Re'ei ha'kol levenecha, come, and they laid out the whole Mishkan there, in the sand, in front of Moshe, to check each piece. Every single ring and hook and cord and line and tapestry and board and socket and everything they showed him. As it's written, they brought the Mishkan. And Moshe, it says, and Moshe saw everything that they had done. They said to him, isn't this exactly how you told us to do it? So Moshe says, hen, yep. They went over every item, and there were thousands of items. Amruloi, they said to him, "Imkein lamal eina oimet." So why doesn't it stand up? Sherekvan itstaru b'tzalav aliv kolchach melev lahamidu v'lo yicholim. And it's not just us; we didn't just write, but b'tzalav and aliyav and all those chachomim, they also tried; they couldn't. Moshe had some anguish over this. God says to Moshe, because you had pain, that you weren't involved in the making, and you weren't involved in the construction or the nedavo. That's why those clever people couldn't erect it. Bishvilcho, because of you, kidei sheyedu kol Yisrael, so that all the Yidden should know shem al yotcha eino oimed shuv eino oimed la'olam, that if it can't be put up by Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not going to be put up by anybody. And ve'eni koisiv lo yakom ele yodecha, and I'm only going to ascribe the erection of the Mishkan to you, shenema, as it is written, vayokem Moshe samishkan. Moshe erected the Mishkan. And so it says, God spoke to Moshe, on the first day of the first month, you should erect the Mishkan. So, Omar Moshe says, Rabbi Nishalan, Master of the Universe, Eini Yodea Lahamida, what do I know? I'm a shepherd. What do I know about putting up the Mishkan? Amaloi, God said to him, don't you worry about a thing. Asoik b'yodecha, just get busy with your hands. You just make like you're erecting it, and it will erect itself. But I'll have it written in the Torah that you put it up, shenema, as it's written, and it was in the first day of the second year, in the first of the month, hukam ha-mishkan, the Mishkan was erected. So the Medrash is saying that it doesn't say Moshe erected it; it erected itself. Nevertheless, it says Moshe erected it, and Moshe erected the Mishkan. So then the Medrash goes on to say that for the 7 days of consecration, Moshe set it up and took it down, and set it up and took it down twice a day. And then there's another Medrash that says no, 3 times every day. It's an interesting Medrash. The question is, why didn't Moshe donate anything to the Mishkan? To later have pain that you didn't get involved, okay, I can understand the Nesiim, the princes of the tribes, you know, they had a cheshbon, we'll wait until everybody's given, or whatever there's a shortfall, we'll make it up, but what was Moshe's excuse? How come Moshe and Aaron didn't donate anything to the Mishkan? Moshe and Aaron didn't own anything. To be able to give something to God, you have to feel you own something to give. Not everybody feels that they own anything. When you get to the level of being Moshe and Aaron, the idea of personal property the idea that you own something that you have the power to give away, doesn't compute. Moshe couldn't give with a full heart because Moshe couldn't give because Moshe didn't own anything. The thought of giving a nedava, giving charity, you know, being kind, the thought of consciously offering something to God has to come after you have a sense of ownership. Moshe and Aaron didn't have a sense of ownership. So then, if that's the case, why is Moshe got pain? What's your regret then? Oh, I regret now that I didn't take ownership of stuff so that I could give it away. But if you really, really can't conceptualize of yourself as being in control or having something, I mean, if you, Moshe and Aaron just saw themselves in God and that's it. They were in relationship with God. The concept of owning something. So what was Moshe regretting? And the answer is, Moshe is regretting the simcha that people had in giving. That was something that he felt we find in Chronicles 1, where King David is trying to assemble materials for the temple that's later going to be built by his son Solomon. And it says Vayismechu ha'am al hisnadvam, and the people rejoiced on being able to give. Ki belev sholem hisnadvu, because they'd given with a whole heart Lashem. V'gam David ha'melech somach simcha gedoyle. And David ha'melech rejoiced with this big simcha. And then comes this part of our davening, important part of the davening. Vayevorech David es Hashem le'enei kol hakol. David blesses God in the eyes, in front of the whole congregation, and he says, Boruch atah Hashem, blessed are you God, Elokei Yisrael, God of the Jewish people, Avinu, our Father, may oylam v'adoylam forever and ever, l'cho Hashem, hagdulo, hagevura, hatiferes, hanitzov, ahoyt. And so major parts of our davening come out, and not just of our davening, but you know, the whole Kabbalah is based on this posuk. So he says, v'chimi ani, who am I, umi ami, and who's the people, kinatzo koyach lisnadev, that we would withhold the power of giving, kazois, kimimcho hakoil, everything is from you, umiyotcho nosanuloch, and we've really just given back to you what is yours. Kigerim anachnu lefenecho, we don't really own anything here, we're immigrants, we're temporary strangers, v'soishovim. So if we were to really get into Moshe Rabbeinu's head, we wouldn't be able to give. And yet, we were able to give. And the simcha, you know, to do a mitzvah, there's no pleasure in doing it. Mitzvahs lav lahenus nitnu. We weren't given mitzvahs to take pleasure. Even though some of the mitzvahs that we do are really pleasant and really pleasurable, nevertheless, that's not why we're given, and that's why there's the halacha is that on sukkahs you don't take the lulav and esrig and smell it, right? Because even though the hadassim smell really beautiful and the esrig smells really beautiful, but that's not why we're given mitzvahs to enjoy in any way. We're given mitzvahs to do the mitzvah. However, when you've done the mitzvah and you've fulfilled the mitzvah, there's a tremendous pleasure in having done what you were told to do. That pleasure lasts forever. I mean, we tend to forget because, you know, we have built-in forgetters. But not just that the pleasure lasts forever, But the joy of the simcha of having done a mitzvah, having been given a mitzvah and fulfilled it, and that you're allowed, that simcha you're allowed. That's not, you're not taking pleasure from the mitzvah, you're taking pleasure in the satisfaction of having performed the mitzvah. You did it. You did the will of the Creator. And what? The Gemara says, Minayin shehakodesh baruch hu mispalel. How do we know that God prays? Shenema, it's written, it's Yeshaya 56, I think. V'havayoysim el harkotshi, God says, I will bring them to my holy mountain. V'simachtim beveis tefilosi, and I will rejoice them in my house of prayer. We say this very often in davening, especially by the Yomim Noiroim, the holy days. So God says, V'simachtim, and I will make them rejoice, beveis tefilosi, in my house of prayer, or in the house of my prayer. Tefilosim loy nema, it doesn't call the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't call the temple sanctuary the house of our prayer, the house of their prayer, the Jewish people. Elo tefilosi, God says, my prayer. From here we learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens. Gemara is a Gemara in Brochus Dafov that says, how do we know that God wears tefillin? So the Ishbitzer says, so what is God's prayer? If you say that God davens, what does it mean that God prays? So he says our prayers are God's prayers. The thing is like this. If I'm praying for something and God has something else in mind and I get what I wanted, it's like God was facing in another direction and I asked for something, so he gave me something. And you know, if I can imagine God faced in another direction and just passing me something behind his back, here, take this, because you know I'm bothering him, so here, nemdas, go away. That kind of having my prayers answered, that's the opposite of what I want, right? What I want is to be face to face with God, and my davening and God's davening are the same thing, right? So we're both saying the same words. If God and I are praying face to face and we're both desiring the same thing, like the Gemara says, what does it say in our tefillin? In our tefillin, it says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. God is one. So, what does it say in God's tefillin? Umi ke'amcho Yisrael goy echad bo'aretz. Who is like your people Israel, a nation of oneness? So the Ishbitzer says, so really that's what it means. When you're face to face with God and davening, then you and God are really praying for the same thing. And the words that are coming out of your mouth are really God's prayers. When that happens and God gives, then that's the real giving, because it's not you, God is handing something, you know, throwing something to you, take it and push off, you know, I don't want to see you. When you're face to face with God and you're receiving from God, then there's a kind of an emotional, spiritual, whatever it is, divine loop, and then you're receiving from the source. And when you're receiving from the source, then you become the source. You are the source. And your giving is a receiving, and your receiving is a giving. The Ishbitzer says here, the Ikar HaGolus, the main exile that exists in the world, to Mizeh Shelev HaOdom Otum Milekabel Toive Ikris, the chief exile. You know what the whole Golus is? That we are satisfied with receiving something from, so to speak, behind the back of God. And we are not, we don't insist on receiving face to face. And how do you know when you're receiving from God face to face? You become a giver, right? So here, the Torah tells us that David HaMelech, when he sees the joy of the Jewish people giving to God, what happens? Vayevorech David es Hashem. David starts to bless God. When you are receiving something from the source, when you're receiving something, when you are connecting to that divine giving, like when God is praying through you and your lips just become tenuva, right? It's like your lips become sweet with prayer. And the prayer is being answered even as you're speaking. And the glory of God is revealed in the world. Then you become as giving of the glory as God is becoming giving of the glory. And you become giving of tzedakah the way God becomes giving of tzedakah. And whatever it is that God pours into you, you then pour into the world. And so when I receive something and all I can think of is hurrying home and sharing it and spending it on myself, and then it means I didn't get it from the source, right? And if I receive from God and all I want to do is give it back to God and to the whole world, then it means, you know, I'm receiving from God face to face. So God calls the Mishkan based to Filosi. God says, I'm going to bring them to my sacred mountain and I'm going to make them rejoice in the house of my prayer. Because there's a simcha that comes when God davens through us, that it doesn't matter really what it is that we're davening for, right? But we're davening face to face. We're receiving and giving, and we're expressing the divine desire. So my desire, God's desire, the same desire. And that was what the Mishkan was. That's really what it means. Va'asu li migdash, and they'll make me a sanctuary. V'shachanti b'seichom, and I will dwell inside them. Because we become the sanctuary. And the secret of this was the joy that the Yidden had in having fulfilled the mitzvah that Moshe said God wants you to give a teruma and a dova. He wants you to give an offering. And the joy that we had in having done what we were told, this joy that goes on forever, this awareness that we were caught up in this divine simcha, Moshe said, I don't have that because I wasn't one of the givers. So this simcha shel mitzvah that all the Yidden are in, this ecstatic, it's not ecstatic really, because ecstas means to stand outside the self, right? So it's like instatic, right? The feeling of the divine inside the self. Moshe says, I guess I'm too ascetic to be able to own property, to be able to give, to be able to have given, to be able to feel. And God says to him, no, wait a minute. You are going to have erected the Mishkan itself. You're going to have actually put the thing together and stood it up on its feet. And you are going to have the joy, the simcha shel mitzvah, of having actually put the Mishkan up, and forever it's going to be the Mishkan that you assembled. So in the Mishkan is called the Mishkan Ho'edus, the Mishkan of testimony. And one of the things that the Mishkan is testifying to, making really crystal clear, is that relationship that we have in the temple of being with God in the tefillah, that we are face to face, that our tefillah is God's tefillah, that our prayer is God's prayer, that there's this, it's coming through us. And really, tefillah is an expression of desire, and it's also an expression of connection, right? She calls her son Naftali, ki neftule elikim niftalt, because now I am bound up with God. Naftule, God has bound me together with my husband. Tefillin is this expression of being bound. And so the Gemara says, so what's God also? If we're bound to God, it means God is bound to us. So if we're wearing tefillin, so God is wearing tefillin. So davening, praying, which we normally think of, oh, I'm asking for something. Of course, you know, that's not really what davening is. Davening is when my DNA starts to speak through me. Okay. The Rebbe Rabbinim says, where does this word davening come from? And it's why, you know, it's one of those strange words. And he said, davonon, it's the fathers. The fathers, our genes, our blood, right? The things that make us who we are, that we've inherited from tens and twenties and hundreds of generations, going back to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, that everything is speaking through us. So when I'm speaking, my fathers are speaking through me, then I'm in the state of davonon. So the Torah tells us, Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur lemata Yehuda osis kol ha-shetziv Hashem es Moshe. Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Chur, from the tribe of Yehuda, he's the one who did everything that God commanded. So why, if we're being told that he's from the tribe of Yehuda, I should just say Bezalel ben Uri, and then I would know who he is. So what is the ben Chur? It was one of the famous movies of the 1960s, was this ben Chur. Mysterious. Who is ben Chur, right? So we know that when Moshe commands Yehoshua to go out and do war with Amalek, so Chur is one of the people who holds up Moshe's hands. So Bezalel is a grandson of Chur. So the Medrash says that Chur was killed when we came to Moshe, when we came to Aaron and we told him to make us an idol, to make us this golden calf. So Moshe, what did we say? We said, we came to him and we said, Vayaram ki boishesh Moshe loredes minahar, and the people saw that Moshe was tardy in coming down from the mountain. Vayikohel ho'om al Aaron, and the people gathered around Aaron. Vayomru elov, and they said to him, kum, get up. Haseilonu elohim, make us gods, asher yelchu lefaneinu, who will go in front of us. Ki zeh Moshe ho'ish, because this Moshe, the man, asher he'alonu m'eretz Mitzrayim, who brought us out from Egypt. Lo yodanu mehoy eloi, we don't know what's happened to him. So, the story is that Chur, who was the son of Kalev, he got up and he said, no, everybody go back home, it's not going to happen. And we killed him. And when Aaron saw that we'd killed Chur, so he said, Vayom Elem Aaron, take out your earrings and your nose rings and bring them to me, and we'll make, and that's how the golden calf got to be made. First we killed Chur. So Bezalel is a grandson of Chur. Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur. So the making of the Mishkan, the making of the tabernacle, is the fixing of the sin of making the golden calf. So you know, we learned in Ishbitz that the kavana, the intention of the Yidden in making the Egel, the golden calf, was, we said it out loud, we said, this man Moshe, who brought us out of Egypt, lo yodanu, we don't know, me ho yoloi, what has happened to him? And I think what the Ishbitz is saying is that Moshe has got to the level of ma. You like that when the Eden were complaining to Moshe, he says, "Vanachnu ma, what are we kisalin olenu, that you are, we're nothing," right? And Moshe and Aaron really felt they were nothing, and that's, as we said, you know, they didn't offer anything to the nedava, to the fund, the building fund, because they didn't really feel they owned anything, because they couldn't conceptualize property in terms of themselves, because v'nachnu ma. So we said to Aaron, this man Moshe meh hoyaloi, he's become so completely detached. When we say to him, lo yodanu, we don't know what to do next, tell us what to do, Moshe says, I don't know what to do, look in the Torah, you want to know what to do next, learn the book, there's the book, read it. And we don't want to live like that. We want it to be clear. We want to know when we get up in the morning, what is God doing today that we need to get along with God today? I mean, I get up in the morning, what am I thinking of? I want to have breakfast. And I go to Shul and Daven, I'm thinking of my breakfast. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have this struggle with myself all the time to reach some kind of a spiritual state. I want to be able to get up in the morning, plug in, and know what to do in a spiritual world. And I ask Moshe, and he says, I don't know. You have to find out for yourself. I don't want this, the Jewish people said. We want this golden calf. We want these gods who will show us all the time what to do, what to be, even when I don't know. You see, how did we get this idea? If we look in the previous chapter of the Torah, it says, God says to Moshe, saying, tell the Yidden to keep my Shabbos forever, and guard my Shabbos because it's holy, and don't do any work or you'll be cut off. 6 days of the week work, and Shabbos is holy, forget. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos. And the Eden kept Shabbos. La'asis es ha-Shabbos l'doreis and b'soilam. To keep the Shabbos, to guard it forever. Beini beini. Right. The next posuk is Vayitein el Moshe. And God gave to Moshe k'chaloise l'dabit. And when he finished speaking on Har Sinai, he gave him the luchos ha-edos. He gave him these tablets of the testimony. Luchos ha-even, the stone tablets. K'suvim be'etzba alikim. Written with the finger of God. And the people saw that Moshe was late coming down the mountain, and they gathered on. So what's the connection? Because God is carving Shabbos into us. Carving Shabbos into us means that there's Shabbos, you don't have to work. Shabbos, everything is clear. Shabbos, it's a taste of the future, right? Olam haba. There's nothing to be done. There are no questions. Everything is clear. God reveals himself. What we're living in, this world that we're living in the world of 6 days of the week, this is a world of dreams. And then we wake up. B'shuv Hashem Hashivasino Yinu Kechoymen. When God brings everything together, we'll wake up. We'll have been dreaming. So this is a dream world. So at the moment where God is carving Shabbos into us, we say, Moshe, we're not interested in this Torah Moshe has to teach us. It's much too dense. We want the Torah of its clarity. For that, we're going to need some other kind. Moshe's Meir Hoyelam. We can't get through to him because he's like, don't talk to me. I'm a nobody. So you know what? We're going to have to do something about this. Na'aseh aseilonu elohim. Make us gods. Asher yelchu lefaneinu. They'll walk right here in front of us. Hur stands next to Aaron and says, no, this is not the way. We need to live every day where you plug yourself into yourself. You don't plug yourself into God and then be in this instant state of knowing. No, we need to, every minute of the day, ask ourselves, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm like Moshe, I'm a nothing. What am I going to do next? And he was ready to die for that. As a result, his enikel Bezalel is the one who actually fulfills God's original desire, which is what? Is really to show us, to bring us, to give us that knowledge where we can be plugged in all the time. And that's what the meaning of the Mishkan was. It was Mishkan of Eidos. It was the Mishkan of testimony. And all we had to do was just look inside, and there we were in the presence of God, and we knew what to do next. And it was Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, who fought. In a sense, he fought against this. He said, no, this is too easy. Because when it's not the time, it's not the time. You know, Avraham Avinu, he was 3 years old when he knew there was a God in the world, right? And he spent his whole life in the sense of, I'm not good enough. I'm not doing it right. He was never satisfied with the way he worshipped God, and it was always, God, I've got, there's something else. I know there's something missing. There's some. Maybe I should do it different. Maybe I should do it more. Maybe I should be more telling more people, teaching more. And Abraham, he wore himself out his whole life trying to perfect something in himself that wasn't whole. And you know what? He's just about to turn 100 years old, and God says to him, do bris milah, circumcise yourself. And all of a sudden, he's perfect, he's whole. And so what does Avram learn from this? He never was short of anything. There was nothing wrong with his avodah. There was nothing wrong with his way of worshipping. He didn't need to do anything more bigger. And God wanted him to struggle with it. And just when he was just at the end of his life, he's going to turn 100 years old, after which point, like, who's going to achieve something at 100 years old if you didn't achieve it already? God says to him, there was nothing wrong with you anyway. Mitzvah's mila, I wanted you to circumcise yourself. Now see how you feel whole? There was nothing wrong with what you were doing. It was like you, there was something with your body that wasn't fixed. So why didn't God teach him that when he was 15 years old? Because God has the desire to receive the desire of Avraham. And Avraham's feeling of being imperfect was what God wanted. And so Hur is saying, Hevra, this feeling of waking up in the morning and not knowing how to get in contact with God, that's what God wants from you. And he was ready to die for that. And God says, thank you. And your Enikel, your grandson, Bezalel, he's going to be the one who fulfills my real desire, which is to be connected with the Jewish people all the time, face to face.